afternoon or good morning to those of you on the West, and welcome to today's webinar on the 2011 Tire Discretionary Grants. My name is Jennifer Simone, and I'll be moderating today's webinar. Please be advised that today's webinar is being recorded. Before I go any further, I do want to let those of you who are calling into the teleconference for the audio know that you do need to mute your computer speakers, or else you'll be hearing your audio over the computer as well. Today we'll have one presenter and then several others in the room joining to answer questions. Our presenter will be John Kennedy from the U.S. Department of Transportation Office of the Secretary. I'd like to go over a few logistical details prior to getting started. Today's webinar is scheduled to last approximately 90 minutes. Following the presentation, we'll have time for questions and answers. If during the presentation you think of a question, please type it into the chat area and send it to everyone. The presenter will not be answering the questions during the presentation, but we'll start off the question and answer session with questions typed into the chat box. Once we get through those questions, if we have time remaining, we'll also be able to take questions over the phone. I'd again like to remind you that this webinar is being recorded, and a file containing the audio and visual portion of the webinar, as well as the presentation, will be posted online within the next few weeks. In addition, the presentation is available for download from the box in the bottom right corner of your computer. I'll send out an email to everybody once the information becomes available online, and we encourage you to direct others in your office that may have not been able to attend to access the recording. So we'll now go ahead. Excuse me, I'm going to fix the webinar window there. Let me see here. If everybody can give me 1 minute, I'm not quite sure what just happened here. I'm going to go back to the meeting room, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Sorry about that, everybody. Okay, I'm gonna bring up the presentation and then we'll get started. So with that, John, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, great, thank you. And thank you to everyone who's participating today. I know that we here at the department are very excited about a third round of Tiger, and we've heard from around the country that y'all are excited as well. So what we're gonna do today is just run through some of the basic information about the program, and we'll also cover some of the common areas in terms of what makes for a competitive application. We'll touch on freight some, since this afternoon has a sort of a freight focus. And then we really want to just open it up to questions to hear what kind of questions people out in the country have. So to get started, next slide, please. You can see here, Tiger has been a very successful program across the whole country. We have projects all over the place. We have, all multimodal merit-based program. But in terms of freight, freight products do really well in Tiger. And so we've heard from the freight community that they're very happy about the program and having that ability to seek funding for freight infrastructure, and especially ports have been very pleased with having an avenue for federal funding for infrastructure improvements. This year, or I guess I'll quickly go over, most of you probably know the genesis of Tiger being a $1.5 billion program that was established in the American Reinvestment and Recovery Act for a merit-based, multimodal grant program. Last year in the FY 2010 appropriations, we were fortunate to receive an additional $600 million for awards. And one new thing that happened last year is that we were able to do up to $35 million for planning grant activities. So we coordinated with HUD and EPA, and I like to say that it doesn't really seem like rocket science to coordinate federal investments between agencies, but this really was groundbreaking stuff in terms of we actually got with HUD and EPA and looked at these applications for things like TOD, complete streets, various planning activities, and it was a huge success, and we're very proud of that. And then, we were kind of in limbo there for a bit with the program getting zeroed out. It was there and it was back for a while during the budget debate, but we ended up with $527 million for FY11. And most of the features of the program remain the same when compared to last year. We still have a minimum set aside of $140 million that must be spent in rural areas. A question that we often get is what is defined as a rural area? And it's very simple. It's just any area that is outside of an urbanized area as defined by the census. So even if you're in a community of 10 or 20,000, If your jurisdiction lies within a larger urbanized area, unfortunately, you would be considered as urban. So we also have up to $150 million available for TIFIA subsidy payments. And so we're definitely excited about that opportunity as well. To kind of put things in context in terms of award size, in Tiger 1, the average award was about $25 to $30 million. In Tiger 2, that drops to $13 million. So that might give you an idea of kind of the sweet spot for a funding amount. And we're also required by Congress to have geographic diversity, modal balance, and urban-rural balance as well. In terms of key dates, September 9th will be when the pre-application system opens. If we can get the next slide, thanks. And then, so from September 9th to October 3rd, you can log in to our site and put in your pre-application. It's not going to be a complicated process. The pre-application will consist of some basic questions about your project, yes-no questions, and a 50-word description of the project. We use the pre-applications here at DOT to help us structure our evaluation task force, but additionally, we allow it to act as a technical assistance for applicants, because if you have any curable deficiencies that we identify in the pre-application, we will get with you before the final application to try to correct those curable deficiencies. So final applications will be due October 31st, and so once the pre-applications are done, we'll move into the final application, and that's also when applications are due, we are no longer able to speak with any potential applicants, so of course, please, we welcome any questions, debriefs from previous rounds of Tiger, or if you have any, if you want to talk about criteria and how you understand it as applying to a certain aspect of your project, we're always happy to do that. Next slide. Some of the major changes from Tiger 2, it's mostly the same, but the three differences are that, like I said, we don't have any planning funds available for this round. We're looking at capital funding only. We're instituting a 3-application limit per lead applicant or sponsor. This applies in all cases except if it's a multi-state application. If multiple state DOTs are getting together for an application, then that will not count against the limit. Or if cities in a multi-state area are getting together, that won't count against either. We're also requiring for any TIFIA applicants to also provide a TIFIA letter of interest to the TIFIA office. So we're going to run through just some basic areas in terms of like keys to competitive applications. One that we get a lot is eligibility on the next slide. Essentially, we're looking at surface transportation capital projects. Airport stuff is not eligible, but access to airports is eligible. Dredging is not eligible, but port improvements, land side are eligible. And any kind of port infrastructure other than dredging. In terms of applicants, it's open to any governmental entity, really, state, local, tribal, MPO, transit authority, port authority, any kind of subdivision of a state or local government is eligible. Private entities and nonprofits, if they're interested in applying, they can. They just need to make sure they partner with a public entity to be the lead applicant. For urban grants, basically the minimum is $10 million, and for rural, the minimum is $1 million. There's no match required for rural, and there's a 20% match required for urbanized. I will say that even though there's no match required for rural areas, in the past, rural projects that have been awarded have had a good match sometimes, most of the time. So we like to emphasize that eligibility does not necessarily correlate with competitiveness. So please keep in mind that with the Tiger program, we're trying to do significant projects that can be a showcase for around the country. So that's important to realize, that just because it's eligible doesn't necessarily mean it'll be competitive. And we hope that as a jurisdiction, you will get together with your staff and really put your heads together and provide us with some of your most innovative and daring visions for projects. Next slide. In terms of addressing the criteria, there is an application outline in the Notice of Funding Availability. We recommend that you follow that outline. Our Deputy Assistant Secretary Beth Osborne likes to say that you should be creative with your project and not with your application. We have evaluation teams that will be going through, you know, upwards of 100 or so applications in a few weeks. So the more you can do to, you know, really keep it according to the format so that the reviewers can easily digest the information about your project, that's very helpful. Also, just addressing the selection criteria and how funds will be used. The criteria have not changed from the last round, so it's still the same primary and secondary criteria. And of course, the best projects do a good job of hitting on multiple criteria. Please ensure your applications are clear. Ensure that your project descriptions are short and concise. Provide maps and diagrams. Anything we can, you know, we'd love to go out and visit your jurisdiction, but anything you can do to let us visualize the project and how it will impact your community would be great. If you could focus on why your project is compelling, that helps us a lot. You know, you have 25 pages to work with, and you know, you probably do have a very beautiful town, we're sure, but you know, you don't have to spend 3 or 4 pages talking about how great your town is. Although, you know, I'm sure we'd still love to visit. In terms of leveraging investment on the next slide, leveraging investment is very important, and we're very proud of the fact that for Tiger, we've been able to leverage roughly $2 for every $1 of grant award. In fact, in the first round of Tiger, it was $3 on every $1. So really, you know, the more you can do to show that different entities have skin in the game, that's great. 20% is a minimum for rural areas, but we've seen anywhere upwards of 30, 40, 50% matches on projects before. If it's a public-private project, and this is actually really important for a freight audience, you know, if there's a private entity that's going to be receiving benefits from a project, we definitely expect to see some match-in from that private entity. They need to be able to provide some funding as well to the project if there's going to be private benefit. And we, of course, we also have the TIFIA payments available, and we'll be having a P3 and TIFIA webinar in a few weeks that'll drill down into that aspect of Tiger. I'm going to run through real quickly how our evaluation process works so that you can get a better idea of where the department is coming from when they look at your application. For Tiger 2, we had roughly 1,000 applications for capital projects. Those were distributed to about 10 three-person teams, which consisted of technical career staff at the DOT. And then your applications were scored solely based on the criteria in the Notice of Funding Availability, so the primary and secondary criteria. From there, about 10 or 15% of projects were elevated to what we call our senior review team, which consists of the senior departmental leadership. And then they receive presentations on the projects from the reviewers, and then there's also an additional level of analysis for a detailed benefit cost analysis, and then also a NEPA and environmental readiness analysis. So that being said, you know, the leadership is very concerned with making sure that projects that are awarded will be ready to go by the time we need to obligate. And also, essentially, you know, the leadership has to put together a puzzle of projects to meet the $500 million total. And so the more flexible you can be in your application, the better. The more options you can provide in terms of segments of your projects and phases and financial options, that really helps us in terms of allowing flexibility. So we definitely encourage that. And if you break your project up into phases or segments, please also do that in your benefit cost analysis. So most of our projects do end up getting a haircut before they're awarded. So the projects that are able to provide those options to the leadership in terms of segments and financial options, you know, for $20 million you get this, for $15 million you get this, that kind of thing, that really helps make an application competitive. And closing that out, you know, project phases need to be completing an operable segment, and then also Tiger grants have to be used for projects that have independent utility on their own. So it can't just be an ongoing phase of a larger project. And now, of course, you know, we have done that, but the piece itself, which is funded by Tiger, has to have independent utility. Okay, so also continuing in terms of project readiness and NEPA, you know, essentially we have a deadline of September 30th, 2013, by which all of our Tiger funds have to be obligated or we lose that money. So DOT needs to have assurance that, you know, your project will be able to be outlaid by, you know, several months before that at the latest. And so that's why we have checks for your NEPA status and your project readiness. We reach out to our regional staff, since they're very familiar with your projects most of the time. And so, you know, any relationships you have with the regional staff, make sure that they're aware of where your process is in terms of NEPA and all of that. That can only help, because we'll be reaching out to them as well. We definitely encourage initiating NEPA in advance of the application process. But that being said, in terms of freight, we do recognize that, you know, for some types of freight projects, for instance, a port project, Tiger might be the only federal action in terms of federal financing for that project. So we do understand for certain freight projects that NEPA may not be initiated yet. So keep that in mind, but please try to provide an appropriate explanation for where NEPA stands. Okay, so specifically in terms of freight, I'm sure all of y'all are aware that freight projects have been very competitive in Tiger. About one-third of our funding, about $670 million out of $2.1 billion has gone for freight projects, about $500 million for rail, and $200 million for ports. So eligibility is wide. Port infrastructure, essentially anything, you know, save for dredging is not eligible under Tiger. Freight rail, we've had port projects where you mix port improvements and rail improvements on the port. We've had short line rail projects out in rural areas that have been very successful. We've had, you know, the Crescent Corridor, we've had Create in Chicago, these huge kind of freight rail projects that have been successful in urban areas as well. And also, we don't want to leave out roads, highways, and trucking. We've had some interesting applications related to road freight and trucking. So this is definitely an opportunity for rural areas. We'd like to remind everyone that we are required to spend at least $140 million in rural areas. So, you know, if you're a port in a rural area, we would definitely encourage you to apply for this program. Just by the nature of the way it's set up, you know, rural areas do have, you know, there's a set pot there that's just for rural areas. Also, on the next slide, in terms of freight, key criteria that most freight projects hit on are economic competitiveness, of course. That's, you know, the huge one, since freight really is the lifeblood of our economy. State of good repair, bringing up facilities to state of good repair, and then also environmental sustainability in terms of, we've had lots of rail and port projects that claim to shift truck traffic to rail or port or marine. So that's a savings in terms of emissions from the trucks. We've had like Quonset port where, you know, they were essentially dealing with wind turbines, and the cargo itself can also be a part of environmental sustainability and the freight mix. So those are three criteria that, you know, a good freight project should really be hitting on. Although, you know, we've had freight projects that hit across all the other criteria as well, and definitely you need to address all the criteria that you can. Net national benefits are important for freight because often, and we see this a lot with ports, if a port is claiming to have increased business from a project, you need to make sure that that's being separated out from what would be at the expense of other local ports. So in Tiger, we're looking at net national benefits. So that's really important to look at, because we often have ports that come in claiming benefit when it's, you know, taking business from another port down the coast. So we need to separate that out. And then also, as I said before, when you have private beneficiaries in a project, and, you know, in the freight world, of course, we have private railroads, and they're involved in a lot of these projects on the port side and the rail side. And so it's really important for the private entities to know that we expect them to put some skin in the game if they're going to be getting benefit from these projects. And, you know, that helps to show a strong application, the more support you can have in terms of letters and financial commitment. And of course, our national export initiative that President Obama has been working on is also it's a you know, key aspect of our freight policy in this country right now. So anything you can do to articulate how your project will further that initiative and increase exports would be welcome in your application. In general, highly competitive projects tend to make use of multiple modes, they coordinate investment from various sources and different programs. They coordinate investment from various jurisdictions, whether it be federal, state, or local. They are able to demonstrate benefits across multiple criteria. They you know, can feature public-private partnerships, other kinds of cooperation. They support our priorities. And you know, sometimes they're non-traditional projects that are hard to be funded in more traditional federal programs. Some of the most common mistakes that we see in applications involve things like eligibility. You know, if you're a private or a nonprofit applicant, please partner with a public sector applicant, because otherwise your application won't be eligible. We've run in, you know, universities, unless you're a state university, you need to partner with a public sector entity. If you are a state university, you are part of the state government, so you are eligible. In terms of projects, you know, we're looking at service transportation capital projects in terms of strict eligibility. Now, in terms of what is competitive, things like right-of-way don't tend to be as competitive. Operating and maintenance for transit or freight is not eligible. We're looking at capital only. We see sometimes that applicants don't do a great job of going through the criteria and addressing how their project addresses those criteria. So we would really encourage, you know, applicants to do that, because to get past that first cut at the technical level, it is based on how your application scores against each of the criteria which are involved or are summarized in the notice of funding availability. So another thing that we get sometimes is taking unrelated projects and grouping them together to meet a minimum grant amount. So keep that in mind. If you're a rural area, grouping together, you know, 10 different road resurfacing projects will not be the most competitive way to apply for our program. And then, you know, that being said, we've had lots of strong applications. We're available. DOT, like, we're very enthusiastic about technical assistance and helping applicants with their applications. So, you know, this is part of a series of webinars that we're holding throughout August. And you'll be able to see that listing on our website, but also here on this PowerPoint slide. And, you know, we're happy to address any questions you have. And it looks like we're already getting a few questions. So we also offer debriefs for any previous applicant. If you're interested in the strengths and weaknesses of your application, please contact us. And we've been holding lots of those debriefs. And we also have technical staff in terms of benefit cost analysis. We get lots of questions on BCA, and we have economists that are experts in this. We have an 8-hour webinar from last year that goes through it, led by our chief economist, Jack Wells. But we also have people here on staff that are able to talk to you if you have questions about your BCA preparation. That being said, I think we're getting to the end here. So I guess we can go ahead and move on to questions.